of you would like one. You would like to have it all laid out, every detail, to know what you're going to do from now until the day you die. Doesn't work that way, sorry. Dads, on this day, it's not really a Father's Day sermon, but I think there's a lot here you can learn. Maybe some of you would like a plan. Some of you would like the plan of how you're going to pay for college and cars and weddings and braces and all of those things as well. I would like one of those at my house as well. Planning is something we talk a lot about. Some of us prefer not to worry so much about a plan. We can just make it up as you go along, and we can do just fine. And others really need a plan for every step along the way, want to know all the details and need that, and they function much better in that way. If you Google a planned life, you can get 436 million results in 0.3 seconds, just so you'll know. And many of those are offering to help you know how you can have a well-planned life. One man said, if you don't design your own life plan, chances are you'll fall into someone else's plan. And guess what they have planned for you? Not much. You must be aware that that's true. Many times somebody else will plan your life for you and they may not have much of a plan. It may not turn out any better if you try to plan it yourself. You may try to put together a plan and that may not work out real well. If your life plan and you've got your life all planned out, or if you think, I can do that, I got it all figured out, I can plan it all out, then you need to pay attention. Let me invite you to draw in close and listen to the Scriptures today from the book of James, chapter 4. The book of James, chapter 4, he says to us, come now. Now, James wrote this letter, but James was a preacher. Come now means, hey, y'all, you need to pay attention. You who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor and appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. How can you make certain plans about your future when you don't know the future? How can you make plans about your future when you don't know the future? You know, there is a tendency to make our own plans. There's a promotion of that in our society that, you know, here you can get a plan for your life or you can get a business plan. You go to college and they have a degree plan. You've got to do this, this, this. You know, those are important plans. It does help if you have a business plan. It helps if you have a budget plan for your house. You tend to, if you have a budget plan, you follow the budget, you tend to work at spending less than you make, and that's a good thing, all of those kinds of things. Because you see, James is not condemning wise planning. He's not condemning wise planning. He is condemning planning that excludes God. That you're developing a plan, this is what I want to do, and this is the way I want to do it. And he puts it in that verse 13. And those who say, those were merchants, they were business people. People who would say, hey, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to a certain place. We're going to spend a year there. We've got a length of time, and we will make a profit. That's pretty good. Most business people would like to know in the next year they're going to make a profit. He's condemning planning that excludes God. How well do you do with that? Does your planning include God, or do you just make a plan and hope God will honor your plan? It's interesting that the realm that James addresses is work, is our business life. He's describing something that goes on all over the world. He's describing something that goes on in most businesses. Matter of fact, he's describing something that goes on many times in churches and ministries of we're developing a plan. that we're going to put together a plan. But here's something that we need to get from James, so that we need to understand is and beware of, is that many times our planning has a tendency to leave out God. That we just kind of exclude God from it. God is great for church. That's good. We ought to include God in church. God is great for our family. We need to include God in our family, but we don't think about Him so much at work. Bill was a man who was a member at Central Baptist Church, and he and his wife were members there because God had called them to a Baptist children's home to be the house parents at that children's home. They had done that after he had retired for many years in the education field. And one day he was describing God's call on his life for he and his wife to come and be the house parents at this children's home. And he was talking about how God had led him in his work career, that he sought God's leadership for the jobs he accepted, where they moved in education. He moved a few times in God's leadership in that. And as he was doing so, there was another man in the conversation who was a godly man, a man who was faithful to the Lord, actively involved in his church. But in the course of the conversation, realized he had never really included God in work. Just kind of separated that. I don't think James has pulled out this work just by, you know, what can I pick on? No, I think God, and James was being very direct and very deliberate in saying to us something about the fact that if we're not careful, we can work and we can exclude God from our work. Yeah, I've got God in my personal life. I've got God in my family. And I certainly expect God to be at church. But, I can just kind of do the work thing and I'll leave God out of that. No. I think this is a wise word for us. Dads, it's a wise word for you as well. I know, we're going to provide for families. We're going to take care of families. We're going to meet needs in our families, and we want to be able to do that well. You might be able to do that even better if God is included in how you do your work and what you need to do at work. So I think James is being very deliberate in addressing an area in which maybe many times followers of Christ would leave out and would exclude. And I'm guessing he is seeing it in the church he pastors in Jerusalem. Here's the problem that we have with making our own plans. We don't know the future. We don't know the future. So it's impossible to make good plans apart from the Lord. That doesn't mean we can't make plans, but that doesn't mean that we can't work together and make plans and have a plan about what we're doing. But one of the key ingredients here is our attitude and our spirit about it. James is condemning making plans that exclude God. He's condemning having a spirit of, well, I'm smart, I'm bright, I'm capable, I can do this, so I'm going to make the plans. And what he's trying to say to us is, no, we can make plans, but we need to make plans with a humble spirit bowed before the Lord, seeking God's leadership, seeking God's guidance on how do we make these plans and what do we do and how do we live lives in such a way. And he says to us, look, you don't know the future, and how can you make these plans? How can you live this out and determine this when your life is just like a vapor, he says. It's like the morning fog that burns away quickly under the heat of the rising sun. It's just going to be gone. It really doesn't last very long. Now we may think, wow, going along, man, we keep adding up years, this is long, but in the grand scheme of life, no, your life isn't very long, and it's just gone. One day when I was in football practice in high school, one of the guys on our team must have been feeling a little big for his britches that day and thinking he was a little more important to the team than perhaps he thought he was, because I remember the coach looking at him and said, have you ever, you take a bucket of water and you stick your hand down in it and you pull your hand out, what size hole does it leave in the water? And the guy looked at him and said, it doesn't leave a hole. He said, that's how much we'll miss you if you're not here. You know, sometimes we just think we're way more important to things than we really are. You know, you think, well, nobody can do without me. I've got to be involved. It's amazing how well people go along when you're not there anymore. You know, one of the things about being a pastor is you've pastored churches and God moves us sometimes to other places. And you wonder, and in part you wonder because you've poured your life into this previous place, and how are they going to do? Well, they move along. Whether you're there or not, they just keep kind of going on doing those things that they need to be done. So we have to be careful about how much we think about ourselves, because what he's saying is, look, you've become confident. Matter of fact, you've become arrogant and cocky in ourselves, and we think so much about our own abilities, and we think about how well we can do things, and so we make our plans, and we're involved in our work, and that we can do this or we can do that. Matter of fact, as I was working on this, there was a scene that came to my mind that was fixed in our living room, and with Valerie and I having a conversation one day, and we were talking about a church situation, and I remember saying, and this is a scene God brings to my mind ever so often, and I need it, is, I remember saying to Valerie, as we were talking about this church situation, I know how to do that. But one day in the midst of some deep struggles, it was a good while later, but in the midst of some deep struggles, the Lord brought to my mind that scene from that evening in the living room, that conversation with Valerie, and my bold pronouncement that I knew how to do that. And the Lord showed me that I didn't know how and I couldn't do it. And that my lack of humility was hampering my work and His ability to use me. The Bible instructs us in a better way. The Bible says to us, there's a better way. And here's the approach that we take. We begin by acknowledging that the future belongs to God. It is His. We sang a song earlier. I really like that song about that He's a king and we're His. That He is king and we're His. Because He's the king. He knows the future. The future belongs to Him. And our future is wrapped up in the covenant relationship that we have with Him that He established with us at the cross. And that if we bow our lives before Him and yield ourselves to Him and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, then He'll be our Savior and He'll forgive us and cleanse us and we can be His and we can be His adopted children. We become His. But in that covenant relationship, it's wrapped up in, what does the Lord wish? What is God's desire? Not ours, what I wish, but what is God's wish? What is God's desire? As James writes this statement in saying, if the Lord wills or if the Lord wishes, his statement means this: if your future is planned with the Lord, what will come is much more probable than if you leave the Lord out of it. I mean, the structure that he writes it in, it doesn't always come out in English, but as James wrote it in his native, in that original language, it's saying, look, if we plan with the Lord, the future with the Lord, and we seek the Lord's guidance, then the fact that it'll come out is much more probable than if we're trying to do it by ourselves. Why? Because we don't know the future. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen, so how do we plan that future? How do we plan into the future? I know there are concerns about that for all of us. All of us have those kinds of concerns. How are we going to live into that to that future, and you think about all of those things that are involved in that future. How are we involved in that? Are we going to do it with arrogance? Are we going to be humble before the Lord? Are we going to be independent? Or are we going to be surrendered to our King and what the King wants? Are we going to want only what we can do for ourselves, or do we want to live the life of significance that Jesus has for us? Which one of those do you want? Do we want to live by the world's standard of success, or do we want to live by the Lord's standard of success? What does the Lord want us to do? Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 3 says this: "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." In verse 9 of Proverbs 16, he says, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." That it's a joint thing. That God works with us. God can give us a plan, but we've got to be seeking the Lord, and the Lord, we trust the Lord to direct our steps and to lead us in the right way and in the right path. Dad's doing that at your home for your family. As you seek to do that and you live that out by example, and as you live that out and helping your children learn that and trying to teach that to your children and then watch them do that behind you, following the example that you have set for them. Proverbs 15, verse 22 says, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed." Helps if there are other people around helping you walk with the Lord and follow the Lord, know what the Lord wants you to do. Helps to have those other godly people to whom you can turn. And what are we going to do? How are we going to seek these things? I think it helps, you know, for instance, in our church, we've chosen and that we have elders who help lead us and together. I think there's greater strength and greater wisdom and greater insight doing those things together than trying to do them, some one person having to do that all by themselves. And God provides those counselors. It needs to be that way. And, you know, as you're looking at what plans about work or for your family working together and for us as a church working together, all of those types of things, that with good counselors, there's great wisdom and there can be success in those plans. James is not saying you can't have any plans, but he's saying we can't leave the Lord out of it. We can't think we're so big that we can plan this ourselves. We must turn to the Lord. Emmanuel has a future. There's a future in front of us. It's a future that in God's plan, I believe, can be a wonderful future, a bright future, a good future. And we need a plan for how do we move into that future, and what does God want us to do that? And without that plan fully in place, and it's not there yet, I hear language that talks about the past, and sometimes regretfully, because there were some things in the past that were really good and we're not there anymore. But I want to say to you today, look, we're going to seek the Lord together as a church family, and we've asked our elders to give us leadership with that, and they've done that, helped us revise mission statement, and we're having a challenge getting there with our vision statement, and they're going to be doing that, and they'll bring that to the church, and we'll look at that together. What does God want for us in our future? And along the way is what does God want us to have, and what does God want us to do? Because I know this, God didn't put us here just to show up next Sunday. God didn't put us here to say, hey, you know, our goal as a church is we're going to meet again next week. Now, that's a given part of the plan. We're going to do that. But what else does He want us to do? God has given us a fivefold purpose, and we need to remember that, of worship and evangelism and ministry and fellowship and discipleship. That's a part of the plan. It's a mix of we gather because we study the Word together and we worship together and we're here to encourage each other and fellowship and build each other up. But it's also involved in spreading. And we don't stay here, but we go out because there are people that need the presence of Christ and the love of Christ and to know that Christ loves them. It's a mix of learning, but of doing. It's learning about what's going on, but actually being engaged in it. That's why next Sunday after church, there will be a group of us leaving to go on the Hands of Hope mission trip. And actually, with the state convention staff and the worship band there, there's going to be 14 people from Emmanuel Baptist at Hands of Hope. And I'm excited about that because it's going and doing and serving others beyond the walls of our church building. It's doing those things. It's a mix of engaging with God and engaging with others. God has a future for Emmanuel Baptist. I believe that with all my heart. I wouldn't have come if I didn't. Because you have to remember, I came a long way to do that. We left a daughter, parents, 4 days after I started. We were in a car wreck. All those kinds of things. But we came because we believe God has a future. God has something wonderful in store. And God has spoken that into my spirit multiple times since I've been here. And one of those was this morning as I met with Him. He reminded me once again, I have a future. I have a plan for Emmanuel Baptist. I believe that. I know this. I know this because I've walked with the Lord for a long time and have been involved in church. It's not all going to be smooth. It's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be neat. Because it's just the way it is. It will be exhilarating, dynamic, creative, fun. But we have to make sure we hear these words and make sure we boast in the Lord. Because if we boast in ourselves, the text says it's evil. My declaration I made to Valerie in the living room in the scene I told you about earlier was born out of my own arrogance. And the Scripture says it was evil because I was boasting in myself and not in the Lord. And then he says this at the end of it. We must do the good we know to do. We must do the good we know to do. When God presents us with good, we are to do it. One of the things about when churches plan and we work to plan for a future is we always have to remember the Spirit is dynamic and moving and understand how the Spirit can move things and put things in front of us that when we set out with the plan, we didn't think that would be there. That's going to be off on the periphery somewhere. But no, He brings it along and puts it in front of us. And we have to be sensitive that, He's leading the path. And we didn't see this down the road because we don't know the future and we couldn't see it all. But we've got to be sensitive to it. But it's also, the plan also helps us to make sure we're sensitive to what is God's plan and what is not. But we've got to do the good we know to do, no matter what the plan is specifically. And verse 17 is really a summary of what he's been saying previously. And these verses we're looking at this morning, but I think even going back a little farther than that, it's a summary. He's saying, hey, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Do the good you know to do, but if you don't do it, it's a sin. You know, one of the things I've rediscovered about James and going through it this time is, boy, James is direct, isn't he? It's a sin. I mean, he said that, you know, if we're going to boast, it's a sin. If we're boasting in ourselves, it's a sin. If we know to do good and we don't do it, it's a sin. Whew, boy, he's just straightforward with us, isn't it? Isn't he? So we've got to understand what he's saying to us in this regard, that we've got to do the good we know to do that the Lord shows us to do. Dads, it's a good reminder for us as well as dads to do the good we know to do as dads. I know I make a lot of mistakes as a daddy. But can I do the good things I know I need to do? And If I know there are good things to do and I don't do them, it's a sin. And so it is for us as a church. So it is in our walk with the Lord. If you're trying to plan your life, and most of us are at some point, it's your personal life, your family, your work, even for us as a church, we need to listen carefully to these words. We need to hear these words carefully to us today. To realize it's okay to develop a plan and have a plan, but we need to make sure it's not us, it's not ourselves, that the Lord is included in the fact that we're allowing the Lord to direct us and to know what we need to do. We've got to acknowledge that the future is the Lord's and belongs to the Lord. It's not ours. We can't create it. We don't know the future. And a commitment that we're going to do the good we know to do. To do what He shows us to do. In your own individual life, in your family, for us as a church. God has a future for you. Has a future for your life. Some of you are a lot farther down the road and your future is not as long. Just biology tells us those things. Some of you are quite young. We think about little Mariah up here this morning. What does the Lord have in store for her life? What is her future? What about us as Emmanuel Baptist? God has a future for us. But it's a future we must humbly bow before Him and seek and trust that He will lead us and show us. That'll work for our church. It'll work in your life. It'll work for your family. It'll work in your work as well.